Should I tell my ball story?
Yeah, man.
Butterscotch
shenanigans. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Coffee with Butterscotch, episode number 15.
Woo!
My name is Sam.
I'm Seth.
And I'm Adam.
And we are Butterscotch Shenanigans. We're a three-brother indie game dev studio making a sweet game called Crash Lands.
And we made a bunch of other ones, too.
We did.
Already.
But you can just Google those later.
They're done.
We have some important things to talk about. Also, some not important things to talk about.
No, it's all important, Sam.
I guess, yeah, since we're talking about it.
Yeah, we wouldn't talk about it. We wouldn't waste your time, listeners.
One interesting note is that we're going into a sort of a weird period for this next month. I have my stem cell transplant, which should be the final cancer treatment forever.
Transplant dose.
And I'm getting some 28-year-old's immune system from the East Coast.
Oh,
those
are the best.
He gets to keep a copy also. It's like pirating. I'm pirating an immune system over the next month.
Well, technically, you're paying for it, so.
That's true. Well, he's not getting paid.
He's not getting paid.
I'm paying a distributor.
Even though he's the content creator.
Yeah.
Right. Story of the world right now, right?
Does he have a copyright? Does he have a copyright on his immune system?
Well, I hope not, because I'm gonna be.
You're gonna be an infringer.
You're gonna be duping that thing for the rest of your life.
So that'll start actually this Friday. I've been doing some pre-radiation stuff. Radiation starts on Friday, get admitted on Sunday. And what that means for all you lovely listeners is that the next four podcasts are probably actually just gonna be Adam and Seth.
Yeah. Not because Sam won't be up for it, but because for some reason the internet at the hospital is so terrible that you can't even really use Skype.
Yeah. So,
which hospital? This is Barnes-Jewish?
Barnes-Jewish.
Barnes-Jewish in St. Louis.
Get it
if any of you are administrators of that hospital.
I think most of our listeners are hospital
administrators. I'm pretty sure 90% of our audience
at least, but I don't know if they're for that hospital.
Yeah, no, they're all for that hospital. That's almost all of our players are Barnes-Jewish.
That probably explains why healthcare is so expensive.
Well, I found out, so I played League of Legends during my last stay for 2 days, and then they blocked it on the router level. I'm pretty sure because I was sucking down so much bandwidth in my Bronze
well, they had
five
almost
matches.
No bandwidth to start with, so.
That's true.
He used all of the hospital's bandwidth by playing Lids.
So I'll be getting some radiation and then a new immune system. And I do have one funny story that I really want to share.
Tell
mildly inappropriate, so keep the children out of the room.
But you should have kept them out in the first place.
Yeah, or just always. Don't let children in any rooms.
Yeah, they don't
They belong outside they don't, only.
In the woods.
So what happened was I went to get what's called the radiation dress rehearsal on Wednesday. And during this, they basically draw a bunch of lines on you with Sharpie. I'm covered in crosshairs right now.
Of course, the bridesmaids and groomsmen are standing off to the side.
Right, of course. Yeah, you got a dress rehearsal dinner sort of situation.
Yeah, you have to give speeches and all that good stuff. Yeah.
It's I go into this, and you're in like near the dungeon, which is the radiation oncology is always in the basement, right? Because they're shooting lasers and stuff down there. They don't want anybody to see it. So,
or I guess, do they not want the stray radiation to go radiate other random people?
That's what I would wager.
Yeah, it only goes down, so.
in the bottom of the so, bed. I walk into this room. It's kind of dungeony. And the nurse says, okay, I need you to lay down on this trash bag here. Which, you know, if you're in a hospital and they're like laying a trash bag, it's kind of like a red
was
flag.
Was it a literal trash bag?
It was actually a black trash bag like you would buy from the grocery store.
Nice.
Okay, so.
They charged you $800 for that
trash bag. They probably did. I laid down on this thing and then they're like, okay, we're going to make a mold of your body to make sure you're in the same spot every time. So then they get out what appeared to be, and I think actually was, foam insulation.
They just bought it at Ace Hardware, I imagine.
Probably from the hardware store.
Probably asbestos.
And then they just poured it into the bag that I was laying on and then had this huge piece of tape, like scotch tape, that they just put on the bag to cover it. So I'm laying there and it's getting like hot, you know.
Real high tech operation.
Super, super high tech operation. And it's getting hot and the whole thing's sort of rising up. And as I'm sitting there, the thing slowly starts to cool and they're like, okay, so the next part of this is we're gonna need you to put, and I said, oh, my goods, meaning of course, you know, male testicles, which need to be
the old twig and berries.
They need to be protected. and so I said, oh, my goods, you know, I kind of cut her off. And she said, you're gonna need to put your goods inside what we call this clamshell. And for those of you who aren't familiar, a clamshell device literally
it's just two halves of a sphere.
It's two halves of a hollow sphere.
So it's more of a cannonball.
It's basically a cannonball.
How is that a clamshell?
Yeah, I've never seen a clam that looks like that before.
Put your goods in the dick cannonball. The ball ball.
So yeah, it's the balls ball. So they give me this balls ball made of lead. The thing weighs, I mean, each half of this thing probably weighs like 8 to 10 pounds.
So, I mean, nice. It literally is a cannonball.
It is a cannonball that you put in your junk
for your balls.
Okay, so she then the nurse says, okay, do you want me to help you get that in there? And I was like, no, I do not. You just step out of the room, I'll take care of it. So she steps out of the room.
Wait, okay, hold on a second. So it's two halves of a cannonball.
Right.
Is there also... Because it's got a close.
Well, yeah, right?
So there's also a hole.
Well, so here's the design problem. I don't know what Satanist designed this damn thing, but it's like the hole is, first of all, tiny. Okay. So you gotta pack all your stuff in there. And then it's
really squish it.
It's not like a deep hole at all. Mm. Okay. So what this means is that no matter how you put your junk in there, when you go to close that cannonball, the top half onto the bottom half,
something's getting pinched.
Just every time. So
it's getting pinched between two legs. Lead halves of a cannonball.
Yes. This was my Wednesday.
It's one of the worst places to get your junk pinched.
So I spend like 2 minutes wrangling my stuff into this thing. And then I yell for the nurse. I'm like, oh, I'm good. And the nurse comes out and I pull up my gown so she can inspect. And she looks at it and then she looks at me and she goes, you don't actually have to put your penis in it. You know, I've never done it.
I've never done
that. You know, I cut her off, so I guess it's kind of my fault at the beginning. Yeah. She's
so I guess she thought that goods just meant testicles. I guess
apparently. Goods is the whole package.
As is package.
Yeah,
but package is the whole goods.
Then I had the sort of question where I'm like, well, can I put a penis in it? Because
you don't want to.
I'm going to get irradiated.
Yeah, you don't want to get. Yeah.
She said, it doesn't. Apparently, doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't need to irradiate your dick, probably. Do they?
Well, probably.
I don't think there are any lymph nodes in your dick.
There aren't. Nodes. I mean, apparently dick cancer is not a thing that they worry about as a secondary cancer from this treatment. So
is there dick cancer?
I'm sure there is. There's cancer in everything.
That's probably the name of it.
Dick cancer. Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. You've been diagnosed with stage 4 dick cancer.
Dick cancer.
What? But yeah,
that's
so that
not
was
a laughing matter.
Somebody has it. That was what happened on Wednesday to me.
That's a typical Wednesday.
It has been. People. It has been a shockingly typical Wednesday actually for the past while.
I heard that story the first time, I was thinking of that joke people always say when they're like, "Oh, instructions unclear, dick caught in ceiling fan." But it's like
instructions unclear.
Put my dick in a lead ball. We didn't know that was... Yeah.
All right, so you guys probably just got a bit more of an earful than anticipated. But you know what? That's what happens sometimes on the buttercast.
That's right. Yeah.
Other things in the news that we want to talk about before we get into more gaming-related stuff.
What is happening in the news? I haven't even looked at those.
Sam actually looked at the news this past week.
Yeah, so what? I read the news on occasion.
So what happened, Sam?
I was basically inebriated for most of the last week, so I didn't know what was happening.
Seth was on vacation.
Yeah.
I read and found out that Comically Coca-Cola is has been putting money into a non-profit that is essentially buying research that shows, and I put shows in air quotes, that diet is a less important factor for weight loss and health than exercise.
Ha!
False!
Of course, this is because apparently soda profits are down like 20% in the last 5 years.
Well, good. You know what's going to happen, actually.
What?
There's a big push now to get a percent daily value attached to sugar.
Oh, I thought that actually passed. Isn't that going to happen
well,
now?
I don't know if it's passed or whatever. It's in the works, though.
Yeah, so that's probably why they're doing this.
And so, of course, the problem now is no adult man should have more than something
is it
like
9 grams.
No, it's like 32 grams. That, like, it's a maximum.
Yeah, it's a max, because the fact is
it's not recommended. It's just like
you literally need zero.
Yeah, if you're gonna have it, don't have more than this much. It's like a few teaspoons worth. Right. Yeah. And for women, it's like 27 grams. And if you look at a soda, a 20-ounce soda, that has like what, 60 grams? Like, it's like twice your maximum daily recommended.
I think it has like a normal, like a 12-ounce can, I think, has 32 grams.
Right. Right. And then
over the maximum. That's the max. That's the unhealthy. That's like as unhealthy as you're supposed to be.
Right. Or say like a candy bar or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're about to get snockered, because if anybody actually does pick up one of those things and looks at the nutrition label, they're gonna be like, oh,
I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to be drinking 12 of these a day.
Yeah, I shouldn't be consuming 400 grams of sugar a day.
So the other thing that they noted was that one of the most recent big pieces of research to come out, exercise and that sort of thing, they took two large groups, like I think 200 people each.
Large
in both senses. They're obese
people. The group was large, but so were the people.
And
although 200 people is a tiny number of people doing science.
Listen, scientists. So they put, they had these two big groups of people, and
they had these two small groups of big people.
And one of, they had them work out, basically work out, you know, an hour and a half a day, but keep their diet the same. And the total weight loss over a 6-week period for men was like 4 pounds, and for women was about 2 pounds, right? So the whole point has been, and it's been pretty much shown now, that just what you eat is kind of what determines your shapeliness.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious if you look at, like, if you've ever ridden a exercise bike or run on a treadmill, and then you look at the calories counter.
Yeah, it's like if you burn no fucking calories.
Yeah, if you run on that thing for like an hour, you're like, oh, I just burned like 350 calories.
That's my Rice Krispie treat from earlier.
Yeah, if you eat a single dinner roll, that's like 7 times that. I'm pretty sure
you burn more calories just being alive than you do exercising for half.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, exercise has a ton of other good benefits.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for you, and you should do it.
Yeah,
but it's not really. It's not really for losing. Losing weight is dying.
What you shouldn't do is go run for 20 minutes and be like, I fucking earned this. Time for a
soda,
and then go like eat a donut. Because you, as we talked about actually at the beginning of yesterday's pod, or last week's podcast, you just undid the whole exercise.
You had an undo nut.
It's an undo nut.
That's right.
Be very careful.
So,
but if you're going to have that donut anyway, then it's okay to exercise as a way to like get rid of the donut you just ate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you're going to have a donut anyway, don't eat lunch or breakfast.
Yeah. That's what I do. Because I love eating candy, so I just eat candy.
It's the only effective way to control it.
Yeah, and I am not obese, even though I only eat candy and I don't exercise. It's because I still don't eat very much. Yeah.
Yeah. One M&M a day.
Boom.
Keeps the doctor.
And nothing
away.
Else keeps the doctor.
In other confusing news, Donald Trump.
He's now surging up to 22%.
What is the deal? I watched the recap.
22% of the polled Republicans or something?
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Okay.
Yeah. So the website, Real Clear Politics, they aggregate all these polling results. So to kind of offset the biased, you know.
Wait, how many, is that a plurality?
No, I think he needs a third? I don't know.
But how many, are there like 100 candidates or something?
There's 10.
It's all cut up and there's lots of tiny.
So the next
snippers,
one is Jeb Bush at 10%. At 12%.
But did you guys see the...
But he's winning by like twofold or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you see the debate highlights or anything, though?
No.
I mean, he like directly on national television calls Rosie O'Donnell a fat, ugly pig. Like, I kid you not. During the debate.
Yeah.
So a long time ago, I was in this group that we would every month we'd get together and debate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Grab a Brew, Share Your. And one of the questions that we were debating, it was the lamest Grab a Brew event ever, because the question was, is America actually a representative democracy?
No.
Well, the first guy who went up, he just said, I think yes, because our politicians basically don't get anything done. They're very self-interested. They're greedy. They're mostly just there seeking power and money, and they don't really care about anybody else. And in that sense, they're a pretty good representation of the American public. And everybody was like, oh, yeah. And there was no debate. Nobody else went up and said anything, and then we all just went home.
Yeah, this is a curious thing.
Donald Trump is nailing it.
Super, super interested in seeing the debate between Donald Trump and someone else.
Okay, so now who's running on the... Like, I've literally heard nothing about the Democrats.
You got like Hillary and Bernie on...
Hillary is at 55%, which is why you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
She's thought of as a shoe-in, and then, Bernie Sanders is next at like 19. But he's surging up. Like,
he's been climbing like
he's
crazy.
Starting to chip away at
okay, so he might
numbers.
Come in there. But if not, he'd probably be like the vice president candidate.
Maybe.
Is that how that works? I don't know how that works.
I think
it's just going to be Joe Biden now forever.
All I know is I actually, I really would like to see a debate between Donald Trump and someone else that lasts for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that would be incredible television to watch.
Yeah, well, it'd also be interesting to watch a debate between him and someone who isn't also insane.
Yes. Right. Just to see where it goes. I feel like he would escalate the conversation. You can't argue against insanity. Exactly. So the person he's debating would eventually come off sounding just as crazy as he does by the end of it. Because you gotta rise to the occasion. Like, you gotta rise to the level of the craziest person in the room in order to converse with them. So, you know.
That's true, yeah, because actually the only appropriate strategy in a quote-unquote debate against a person who doesn't actually use logic is just to not have it in this place. But that's
you can't do that, though, in politics.
You got to out-crazy.
Well, it's working for old Donnie. Old Donnie and his hairpiece. So
maybe his hairpiece would be vice president.
Is it actually a hairpiece, or is it real hair?
It's a hairpiece.
There's no way that's real hair.
I think it's a hairpiece.
Maybe
someone will call him out and they'll say, "We need your birth certificate for your hideous hairpiece."
Okay, here's a question though. If that is a hairpiece, that means that every day he's voluntarily picking that thing up and being like, "This looks good," and putting it on his head.
That sort of
and
judgment.
Making an active decision. Yeah.
That sort of judgment is not the sort that I want in the White House.
Yeah. You know?
Everything else is fine, though.
He's an upstanding guy.
And speaking of rising quickly, there's a little old game called Rocket League.
Yeah.
That was quite the transition.
Thank you.
I didn't know what you were going to do there.
A little game called Rocket League. I think it's $20 on Steam right now.
Yep, it is. I just bought it this morning.
It's blown up like crazy. So Seth got it and played it yesterday and then basically just sort of said, "Oh my God, we need to play this tomorrow."
I played it for 2 hours last night and I just had this like stupid grin on my face the entire time I was playing it.
So we booted it up over lunch. I think we ended up playing for like an hour.
Yeah, we played too long. Great. But it was a fair lunch break.
Well, the games are only like 5 minutes, maybe like eight if you go into like a crazy overtime.
You
had
one really long.
Yeah, so there's always enough time for one more.
There's always enough time for one more game, which is very, you know.
And for those who aren't familiar with what it is, it's basically a 3-on-3 or a 4-on-4 soccer game.
Wait, what's it called again?
Rocket League.
I always want to call it Rocket Jump, which is a different game that also exists.
But it's 3v3 or 4v4, and it's soccer, but the ball is enormous. You're driving a race car that also happens to have a jet engine on the back of it.
And crazy hydraulics so it can jump into...
So and people are doing these crazy acrobatic maneuvers, and your goal is, of course, just to score goals, and that's it.
The goal is goals.
Yeah, but
it's like soccer.
The amount of crazy stuff that happens is just off the charts, and then they do a replay after every goal is scored.
So you get to see everybody just flipping around and trying to hit stuff.
Terribly. On top of that, they did this thing, which I think is just phenomenal, which is that when someone scores a goal, instead of the ball just, you know, like disappearing or something like that, the ball just detonates in this huge explosion that flings everybody backward. It just sends a shockwave across the entire map. And so, inevitably, at the end of the replay, everybody's just flying all over the place.
Well, I mean, it's a built-in fireworks show.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, you know how when somebody gets a home run in baseball, they would shoot off fireworks if it's the home team. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody gets a fireworks show in Rocket
League. That's right.
Right.
Super fun to play.
But it's also hilarious because, I mean, you're driving cars trying to play soccer, right? I mean, it's clumsy. It's just clumsy.
Like, I was actually thinking it's like Surgeon Simulator.
Yeah, it's sort of like only like, except with Surgeon Simulator, you can't also be skillful at it because it's just...
It's designed for you to be bad at it.
Yeah. But this game is like, you can still become really skillful at it, but it's always going to look awkward, you know, like almost no matter what.
Except when you do score a goal, a lot of times it looks amazing.
It looks like you totally
planned it. Except we had a couple goals where Sam sort of like, at one point Sam awkwardly like flew sideways through the air, like banged into it, and then the ball got wedged between Sam and the wall, and then the other team smashed into Sam's car and flung his car into the ball, and then the ball went in.
So he got
which
an assist.
It looked cool and almost purposeful.
Yeah, but the great thing, yeah, so Sam still got credit for the goal because he was the last one to touch the ball. So,
yeah.
There you go. Skills.
Yeah, you should totally pick up this game.
Yeah, we'll play against anybody. Anyone.
Yeah, we'll take on your 3v3. Anybody who wants to fight us.
We've got a good like a couple hours in.
Can you wait? Can you purposely like go against people?
I'm sure you can. Yeah, you can make a friend zone.
Well, there's ranked matches and stuff too.
And there's private matches.
Oh yeah, there's private matches. There's also a season where you make a little like team of bots, and then you play through a season kind of like you would do in like FIFA or Madden or whatever. So you can get good practice in with that.
Cool.
Yeah. And we do have a Steam group, by the way, that you can join.
What is it called, Ed?
It's I think it's It's probably called Butterscotch Shenanigans.
I think it is.
Is my guess. But it was set up by some of the people who are running our forums. So you can join that up, find some other B-Scotch fans and players, and then
play some Rocket League.
And then play against us in Rocket League.
And also on the other game news front, we'll move into the actual studio game news.
Sure, let's do it.
Which is just a general update on Crashlands, the biggest point of which, I think, is just the fact that Friday we'll be announcing some stuff about the beta.
Yeah.
The beta won't actually be starting on Friday.
Yeah, correct. And just for those of you who might know, the last time we had, you know, when we set up the beta application and all that kind of stuff, which is still live, so you can go apply at Crashlands.net. When we set that up, we told everybody our goal was to be ready to start the beta when Sam went in for his transplant, which is now coming up next week. Yeah. So that's not quite what's going to happen, but we're actually still pretty close to that. So in any event, on Friday, we're going to give you all the details of what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, yes. we just have a lot of sort of like, I think it was like stitching. Like we have all the pieces of this like quilt laid out.
Well,
we
I can't remember.
Kind of like cement them together with stitches.
Cement.
That metaphor got away from me, guys.
Did a little bit. On our last podcast, Sam, were you done with the story at that point? Or did that happen after the last
I believe that happened the day after.
Okay, so that is a huge piece of news, which is that Sam completed the draft of Crashlands story.
Yeah, and by now I actually rewrote
last week
also.
Yeah, and he rewrote. Well, the Savannah now is
done,
rewritten and done. Although we'll be adding side quests and stuff, but it's done.
Right. So the
we actually got a question about that.
Did we? What
yeah.
was the question? We should just answer it right now.
The question was it was from Gafferman. Having made mostly games with a light approach to story plus characters, mostly there for comedic quips, how do you approach writing the story and characters for Crashlands, and how challenging is it putting a narrative into a game with procedural generation?
Sam, answer it. I have never taken a light approach to the stories in our games, Gafferman.
Yeah, I did.
I think the story of Brad and Will trying to get to space in Flop Rocket.
It's a deep story.
It's an endearing tale of our generation.
I'm insulted that you don't share my level of respect.
I mean, if you didn't shed a tear when you went to space... I mean, when Brad or Will went to space.
Right.
Or one of the millions of disposable pilots went to space.
The heroes.
The heroes.
who sacrificed themselves.
Yeah.
You didn't shed a tear at that then. I don't know.
You're not even a person, I guess.
It is true that we always put story in the game last. And it's also the case for Crashlands too. And I know we've talked to a lot of game studios where they set up like art boards. And, feeling.
Like they head down to the hardware store and just get some, like, 2x4s and draw pictures on them.
Yeah, art boards. Literal boards. Boards of art.
I'm not too familiar with conventional game studio process.
Yeah, well, that's basically we don't do that. So we basically put the mechanics in and then put a bunch of loops on top of it until the game feels really good.
And they were like, how do we decorate this with something funny?
But the question is why? Why does story exist? And
why does it exist, Sam?
I think the important thing to note is that the most important thing for a game is actually the game. And what we mean by that is the system of loops and the mechanics for interacting with those. Story and narrative, you can have plenty of games that have no narrative, right? So, I mean, Rocket League, we're just raving about this game. Literally nothing to do, no story, no back history, no lore. You're just
playing soccer.
I mean, right. I think what makes it work is that they actually convey it as if you're playing in like a professional sport.
Yeah, there's like an arena.
There's a crowd waving
but
like
it's,
their
But something that's actually important
and...
about professional sports is that they actually generate backstory because, you know, fans get really into the players, into the teams, and all that kind of stuff. So that got really hardcore player, there's actually real backstory to professional sports.
Right, but it's all about the game. It's all centered around the game.
Like WWE.
So totally. It's centered around the game, but then also people who get really into it actually get to backstory to prop up the game and make it important. So that not only is it fun, but it's actually a core piece of
From a design perspective, we want two things to happen. One is that players end up having essentially a unified sort of series of events that they can talk to each other about. So you can say, oh, did you find the baconweed fairy and kill it? Did you know this? That sort of thing. And the other one is actually to provide narrative provides a sort of third hook to pull players through all the loops and stuff that exists in the game.
Yeah.
The reason that's important is because not having a purpose is kind of
makes you feel purposeless.
I think a great example would be for you to imagine if you've played any of the as Sam just put up a blog post on Gama Sutra, by the way, which was a talk that he gave, which involved this very concept, which is in Diablo, you spend about 99% of your time or more not fighting Diablo. You are just killing random zombies and stuff. And you get these little
actually,
quests.
Yeah, way more than that, right? Like, yeah, how long is the game? Like 10 hours?
Yeah, it's like 12 hours, and then the last like 5 minutes is Diablo. Yeah.
Right.
And so imagine if instead of the game being called Diablo, it was just called like kill a shitload of zombies.
And then maybe a bigger one. It never
went anywhere. And you just kind of roamed around the world killing zombies, leveling up, getting new abilities to kill more zombies better, faster, harder. After an hour of this, you'd be like, is this going anywhere? I don't really see myself carrying forward. I kind of see the trajectory this has taken me. And you just kind of stop. So having that reason to exist is really, I think it really is kind of the thing that pulls you.
Right.
So in a game like Terraria, which is more of like an open world thing, you kind of give yourself those.
Right. But
goals.
Even there, I mean, this is one of the things that we tried to address with Crashlands, actually. Even there, it's actually really hard because you don't, as a player, you don't know what's actually important in the game. So having the developer put that onus on you to decide what's important.
Well, not only that, but what's important isn't even told to you in the game. You actually have to go outside of the game.
Yeah, to the wiki or something.
To the player, knowledge base to figure out what's important and how to...
Yeah. So as far as then, to answer the question of how does the approach for writing the story and characters go, essentially it comes down to melding the narrative with the storyline. The narrative with the actual progression of content, such that we have a sort of a blocking list of recipes that the character cannot get until they, do particular story elements. And the reason is that for that is not to provide basically a block, but is actually to make it so that getting, say, the pickaxe, is essentially the next thing you need to do because the story has kind of given you this framework to work within to do.
Right. So if you're ever confused about what you should be doing, you just open up your quest log.
Yeah.
And that will kind of lead you in the general direction.
Even
geographically, it'll lead to general direction.
Right. Yeah, so you've always got stuff to do. It was like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I think one of the good models we've used just for thinking about stuff is actually Skyrim, which if anybody's familiar with, it's set in this huge open world. And it is the same every time, but where we're at with Crashlands right now is that we have that core story basically done. And what that core story does is it takes you from your
start
starting
to
point
finish.
To the end of the game, so to speak, shows you how to use various, parts of the game systems. And if you just did that, in the case of Skyrim, the game's over in like 6 or 7 hours, technically.
Yeah,
you can do the whole storyline very quickly. But all the additional content is
put in that mod that turns you into Sonic the Hedgehog, I think it's 2 or 3 hours.
So our approach is essentially that same sort of idea where we have this big progress gating story, and then we say, okay, if it's the case that we want to make it so that the player needs, say, the pickaxe at this point, given what's happened previously, how could it be relevant for a Tendram, for an NPC of some sort, to give you this, as a thing to do? And those tend to just be, those are anything from, this guy lost his grandmammy and you need to make him a memorial omelet to
for him to eat.
You need to go take out this crazy demonic turtle because science.
We've also got a little story of there's this type of plant called a squee. It's kind of like a weird little cactus thing. And there's a little mini story where there's this guy who's kind of a master worker. He's a squee smith.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go learn how to work the squee, So you become like an apprentice of his, and he'll teach you all these different recipes if you help him out around his squee shop, kind of a thing.
Yeah, you go in there, he's got like a ton of tables and chairs just laying.
He's been making all kinds of stuff.
So it certainly is interesting and a little bit weird because it takes it's like taking an open sandbox game and then putting it on a sort of linear track, right? Which can be very, you gotta be careful. I guess that's the easiest thing to say about it. You gotta be very careful to make sure you don't break the game. And that's basically been our mantra internally for the last like 6 months is
don't break it.
Don't fuck it up.
Which we have done multiple times in the past 6 months.
Yeah. But it's like surgery.
Yeah, it's like you gotta cut something open
to make it better.
Fix it before you stitch it back up. So
or cement it.
And all of the needs as far as procedural generation are concerned, the map sort of builds itself as you go, but it has distinct sort of biomes and subbiomes within it. And so it's really a matter of putting the proper outpost, the proper sort of town or whatever, in the correct location on the map with whatever sort of variation is inherent there. So,
yeah, because because of the fact that the resources and everything else themselves actually have tier or quality or whatever associated, that as long as you, so the way that we set it up is that the map itself distributes those so that things get higher level as you move to the center. And the story also takes you through the higher level of content in the center. And so, you know, it's actually not easy, but it's a fairly straightforward problem.
Yeah, it's also a pretty cool safeguard, because if we set up the story so that, for example, a player can't get something that they need in order to collect a higher level resource that's very prevalent in like a more dangerous area later on, then they don't really have a very good reason to go there, because they haven't done the story part to get the thing that they need.
Don't send them out there on purpose.
Yeah, and so, yeah. So in that sense, it sort of creates this disincentive to keep people from getting in over their heads and like wandering in. Like, it, you know, when you play Terraria, if you were just like dig straight down, or like in Minecraft, right, or something, like you end up in these crazy places that you really just don't belong, and you just get crushed by all the enemies.
Yeah, so the trick with game design is to deliver you to a place where your skills and the game get matched up, such that it's perfectly different. And this, basically, I guess, again, to re-answer the question, that's what the narrative, putting a narrative layer on top of the game design systems allows us to do in an open world.
Which normally it's just chaos.
Yeah.
So it's actually easier then.
It's like, you walked into the wrong side of town, and then you're just dead. So, next question.
That's Gaffney, a fair answer.
It's good.
Yeah.
We can jump to this one real quick, which is the one true Michael asked, would you guys ever consider extending your episode?
I think we just did.
So your wish is granted.
You did?
Yes.
Just now?
Mm-hmm. They've been creeping up.
They've been creeping up.
In time.
We've been talking a lot.
This is that feature creep I've been hearing about.
Yeah. Well, it's impacting everything in our studio now, even the podcast.
So there you go, Michael. Enjoy.
Enjoy your extra couple minutes.
Your extra seven. But I guess, for a real answer to that question, at some point, as we get more listeners and that sort of thing, if people get really into the podcast and it, you know, and it's the thing that our players like, then we'll spend more time. You know, right now the following is, it's more limited, and we are trying to appeal. Yeah. So, you know.
It might be one of those situations, though. What was that kind of thing called, Sam? A statement whose inverse is the explanation of itself?
Right, where you're like, well, I'm not going to put time in the podcast because it's not worth my time. Because nobody listens to it. Right.
If you flip that around, it becomes its own explanation.
Yep.
Maybe. Anyway. I suspect that's not the case in this particular situation.
I don't bother taking showers because ladies are interested in me.
For all of you, for all of you listening, If you want more of the podcast, then you should tell your friends to listen.
This is true.
Yeah. Or
spread the word.
Tell your mother.
She's an athlete.
Yeah.
I just assumed you were friends
with
your mother.
We like it.
Agravatus. There are so many ways I could take that name.
Agravatus.
Where do you get the inspiration for the characters in your games?
Nowhere. So if you want to know
a little secret.
Butterscotch
secret.
Most of our characters stem from Sam's...
Don't say it.
Ability.
Choose your words carefully.
Sam's ability to draw that character.
To not be able to do stuff.
Also to how long it would take to animate.
So the reason the quadrupus actually only has four tentacles.
It was supposed to be Octopus Rampage.
It was, but I didn't want to draw any arms.
Sam was like, can we... I believe the conversation was literally just Sam saying, I don't really want to draw eight tentacles. What if we did four? And I said, yeah. And that was it.
Seems reasonable.
So that's how Tack was born. Hardik, with his Indianness, basically came from Sam. So for the reason he's elderly is because Sam was like, I can't draw a face. Can we just slap like a big gray beard on him? Mm-hmm. Okay, now he's an old man. And also, I can't draw arms. Bing. What if we just stuck his arms behind his back? Okay, now he's a general. Let's just put a suit on him. It's very proper.
We roll.
Was the monocle a consequence of that, so that the entire story...
The monocle came from him being a gentleman with his arms behind his back.
It was also because of the fact that I can't draw faces very well.
So
having
we had
a
to
monocle
cover it up with as many things as
a
possible.
Monocle plus a mustache and beard.
That's
meant
one
that
eye.
Yeah.
That's it. No, he doesn't have a nose.
He has no nose. No one's going to be like, oh, this face doesn't look right. It's all covered up. You can't even tell.
Exactly. No complaints.
So
that's where the inspiration is.
You just need to get it done. It doesn't need to be perfect.
And Flux and Crashlands was originally a little... Flux has gone through four...
Yeah, we talked about this last week, I think, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah,
but so Flux's design was because she needed to have interchangeable limbs.
Yeah, because the original version of Crashlands was you could pick things up in the world and then use them as limbs.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, oh, a stick, that's my arm now.
And we actually had that working for a while, by the way.
Yeah, but the problem is if everything needs to be usable as a limb, then everything in the world needs to have a particular shape.
It's got a limb shape.
Which is turns out to be super boring. If every tree or stick is exactly the size of an arm or a leg and is shaped like
it was
one.
Also just really damn weird at the end of the day. You're just desocketing your shoulders.
Well, we didn't have a vision for it other than being like, that'd be cool. But we didn't actually come up with a gameplay mechanic for it. We
were like, let's just put it in.
We implemented it to see if we could do something with it, and we couldn't. So then Flux became a spaceman, and then a delivery truck driver.
Before she was a
woman.
Delivery truck driver, she was a generic spaceman. Yeah. Who the idea originally was that in Crashlands you'd be able to name and then sort of customize,
choose the colors
of your suit and your visor. But once we decided
that was because
we had
a multiplayer concept originally.
Right. Yeah. So once we decided that we actually wanted to tell a story with the game and make it more of a an actual adventure for a person rather than for generic hero, then we had to basically purple.
Yeah, it had to be purple. So that's where our inspiration comes from, a limited skill set.
My limited skill set.
I was being
I appreciate
it is on the animation side as well when sets
probably
I mean, I don't want to procedurally animate 8 tentacles.
Nope. Yeah, we don't have any animation engine in house either.
Yeah,
so that means everything needs to be simple.
Well, I mean, Seth is the engine.
So like Wompets have one leg, you know.
That's because two legs would be too many.
Two legs, that's a lot of legs to animate. That's twice as many legs.
If you're wondering why most things bounce around and fly, it's because it's easy to
animate. if you see anything floating in our games with no without physical contact with the ground, that is guaranteed not because we thought it would be better to encapsulate that character or anything, or because we had a vision for that character as a flying thing. It's just because we didn't want to put legs on it, because then we had to animate them, and...
We don't have time for that.
We don't have time, for that. So that's...
There are a lot of bouncykers.
Inspiration from laziness. That's...
In ignorance, that's bad. All right, Gafferman also asks, now that you're opening up for user-generated content with the Crashlands Creator, I'm curious what other games that allow users to create content that you found the most fun and or interesting.
Kerbal Space Program.
Sesso is on a KSP kick.
Although I haven't played it in a long time. I feel like the problem is I kind of did everything. And I downloaded all kinds of... But yeah, you can get all kinds of great mods for that game. I got one that makes my ships explode on re-entry. You can get robotic parts like arms and claws and pistons.
They incorporated a lot of that stuff in the version 1.0. Though.
Yeah, they rolled a whole bunch of stuff in. The best one was the Kethae, pending, which is like a thing you can land on different planets, and then you can scan those planets for this magical resource Kethae, which you can suck out of the ground, and then you can convert it into fuel. So if you set up Kethae generating space stations and stuff way out into the distance, then it makes planning for missions a lot easier, because you can just make your own juice. So, but yeah, Kerbal Space Program has a huge mod.
Yeah, I think the ones I found the most comical are the Skyrim, just because...
Some of them are just insane.
If you look up the Ultimate Skyrim video on YouTube, where I think the dragon is replaced with Thomas the Train Engine.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of crazy stuff. And my favorite reason for that, actually, though, was because they never have a fist-fighting skill tree in that game.
They always make a vague nod toward it. Yeah, there's always something in there that makes you think that using your fists is a thing you can do.
So I just want to punch everything. That's all I do in Fallout. In any game,
they have the power fist in Fallout.
Yeah, they actually have fist fighting as a skill. So unarmed combat, right, is the skill tree. So
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, going the Ronda Rousey route.
Yeah.
Which I always just think is so fun, because you're punching dragons and stuff in the face. It's just the best. So I found a mod.
There's nothing more badass than
that. There's a mod that actually lets you adds another constellation or whatever the hell. For the skill trees in Skyrim that lets you do unarmed combat.
Seriously? I'm going to play that now. I played Skyrim for about 20 minutes, and they were like, I picked the cat people.
Yeah, because the punch cat stuff in the face. Because
the cat person, the description is like, "Hey, the cat people hit things really hard with their fists," and I was like, "Yep." And then I started playing, and I found that that was it. There was no way for me
no other improvement.
Yeah,
yeah. So this one actually has
I'm gonna play that now.
Full on.
Yeah, for the most part, I guess my experience with the mods is I always play the vanilla version of games. And then tend to move on to another game without going back and playing mods. Kerbal Space Program was an exception. And also Fallout, I guess. I use some of the mods that make the world look a little less depressing. Because so gray.
That gray on gray on gray green.
Holy crap. I mean, it does a good job of setting the mood. That's for I played that game a lot, and I don't need to press for that. Yeah, I don't know. For the most part, I find that mods tend to be too buggy or just be jokes.
Yeah.
So... which is funny. Like, it's funny to watch a YouTube video where the dragon is now Thomas the Train, but I don't really need to play a game that has...
it kind of comes back to that first thing we talked about where that whole, you know, needing to have a goal in the game.
Yeah, like, basically, okay, it like sort of
I'm going to kill this dragon, but then if you're like, okay, the dragon is now Thomas the Train Engine, I don't really feel that immersed anymore. Right. I'm questioning my motives all of a sudden.
It's kind of it's kind of like when you play... I played Doom 3 a long time ago, and it terrified the crap out of me, and I was terrible at it. So I was like, I'm going to go get all the cheats and then, you know, get all the badass weapons and everything else. And then immediately I was overpowered and it wasn't fun.
Yep. You ruined your own fun.
I ruined my own fun. And to me, the mods tend to do the same thing. Although, and it's because, I think as we talked about maybe the last podcast, when you ask players what they want, ourselves as players, we want to win, right?
Winning is not fun.
Yeah. Winning is actually, like, the moment you win is fun, but the only reason that winning is fun is because you overcame a challenge.
It's that whole killing Diablo thing. 99% of your game time needs to be you not winning in order for the winning to be really meaningful.
Or winning lesser victories that are still a challenge.
Right.
But yeah, those close games are the ones that really, that you remember, right? Mm-hmm. If you win 14-0 in Rocket League, you're like, all right, whatever. What a bunch of chumps.
Right. All right, so that's true. We had some awesome games when we were playing today. And the most, absolutely my favorite ones were especially two where we went into overtime. One of the overtimes was longer than the original itself was.
Yeah, we had one point where we got it back and forth for like 7 minutes.
Yeah, and we were just so close to hitting a goal every single time and never quite got it in. And it got more exciting every time we fucked up.
Yep.
And then we lost.
But it was still awesome.
But it was fun to lose in that scenario.
Actually. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap this longer episode. You're welcome. The one to remind you up of Coffee with Butterscotch. And we will see you guys, or I guess Adam and Seth will see you
next
Wednesday.
We'll see you with our eyeballs.
See you with your
ears. It's going to be a new, we're doing a new two-way stream.
Yeah. Where you hear us and we see.
Yeah. So. And it's really weird because it's not live. So I'm not quite sure.
Sister's going to start hallucinating later on.
Yeah.
I think the way it works is that every time you listen to our podcast, we just see.
And we also take a part of your soul. So we can see you all the time like Santa Claus.
So thanks for that. If you guys have questions or want to discuss this podcast, you can check out the podcast itself either through butterscotch-shenanigans.com in the sidebar or podcast.bscotch.net.
That's the easiest way.
And you can ask questions and chat with everybody about this. So tell all your friends or tell none of your friends. Whatever.
Tell your mother, though.
But tell your mother, though, because she needs to hear from you. She hasn't heard
from you. She's a nice lady.
Thanks a bunch for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.